Let's go. Everything fine? Yes.
C'est bon.
You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fine. Okay.
For first question, Randy Newman, is a special is that a special thing for you to make a tour right now?
I was asked to do so many concerts in Holland that I was flattered that I could go so many places in Holland and in the Netherlands and Belgium. There was 19. And I went because I could go, and then these other offers came in, and I just kept going for a little while because I don't know what I'll be able to do next year. I got movies to do and an album to finish and two little babies. So whenever I do something, God knows how long it's going to be before I do it again, you know. So I, once I decide to come, I came.
It's very important for you to play live.
I like it. I don't know if it's important for me, but it probably is, you know, keeping, you know, it's a Europe's a continent of 450 million people, and people forget you when you're gone. I mean, in the U.S., they forget me. I haven't had a record out in six. I've just done movie scores, and it's not a very visible thing. So if I want to keep performing, I have to do a little of it. I mean, I did some dates in the U.S. over the last 2 years because I hadn't done any for a year or 2 years just to see if I liked it. Because it isn't like I don't have to do it in a way, you know. It isn't an economic sort of, it isn't where I earn my living. But I did like it, and I like it very much. And so I did it.
How would you explain that you've been so strong in Germany, in particular in Europe?
I have no idea. I had no idea why I can do 19 concerts in the, you know, in Belgium and Holland. Not really. I would think almost everything in the record business is predicated on radio play. If there's almost nothing that isn't explicable by saying, oh, it was played on the radio a lot of times. Or we saw the video a number of times. And I don't know what my sales are in Germany and on the last two records. I think they're more than they have been. I think they're fairly sizable. And yet, I'm not sure that I don't draw better in Switzerland and in, certainly in Holland and Belgium. I can draw, you know, more people than I can draw in Germany, I believe.
But then it's the north still. So do you think that spirit of the north of Europe is closer to what you do?
Maybe they're more, English is more widely spread. I mean, it's almost essential to understand some English to like what I do. It isn't the type of thing where it's just a melody where you can go la, 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 because I don't have that kind of voice to write for. There may be something about whatever spirit there is in Northern Europe that's akin to me. I don't know.
Do you think through this tour you have some people discover you, or is it just your old fans?
That's a very good question. Without a doubt, I think some people discover me because they laugh at things that the old fans know so well, like political science, like they're surprised. In ways, so I can tell that there are new people out there, and there are people I know who haven't seen me because they're too young. I mean, I don't know, some of these places I haven't been since they were born, you know. I mean, in Vienna, I don't think I'd played Vienna for 12, 15 years, you know, and there were people who were 20, 21, 22, a number of them.
Do you think it's easy for an audience in Europe, especially in a country where English is not the official language, to understand the kind of show you do and especially your sense of humor?
No, it's not easy at all. I was married to a German, my first wife, and sense of humor is the last thing you understand. I mean, I don't think she understood me. It's the last thing that comes, I think, in learning a language, though all I know is a little Italian. Other than English, I think it's you can listen for the music and learn it. You know, I mean, American music is a tremendous sort of I hesitate to use the word cultural, but I mean pop music is like giant over here. I mean, there's less classical music in these countries than there is at home, by far, on the radio. Every town has a classical station almost, except New Orleans and Denver. And here I have trouble finding it. They'll play 5 minutes of something and then start talking, you know, play a little movement. Even the Swiss Romande or the French station, they don't even play a Chopin prelude the whole way. And so people must learn things. But they'd go see REM quicker, you know, just for the vibe and the thing. With me, you sort of have to understand what I'm talking about, I think, in almost everything I do to like it. It's difficult. So the answer is yes. The answer to the question is it's crucial that they know some English, I think, for me. And I'm so glad that they have a better educational system than we do, you know.
The question was more how do you deal with it, and were you sometimes scared about the audience and the reactions?
I'm always concerned about it, how much I can talk. I learned pretty early in the show from experience how much I can get away with talking. I mean, if I say something and it's just a big blank, I shut up a bit. I try not to mumble. My diction's not very good, you know, but I try and speak more clearly, more slowly in general. And I won't talk as much as I will at home, you know, which is probably a blessing for him.
Is that also important for you to write songs for other people, other voices than your voice? Voices that, sing differently.
It never has been, particularly since I've had movies to do where there's other instruments, you know, that. But it's very true that only recently I've done it, you know, for the first time in years and years, on this Faust project where I wrote for Linda Ronstadt or Bonnie Raitt or Elton John or James Taylor, with them in mind in some cases, and Henley. But it's sort of important that you do a little of everything, really. I mean, if I don't do a movie for a while, it's very hard to get back into it. If I don't write songs for a while, it's tough, you know, just like anything, like writing is.
You have the feeling that sometimes your song is not your song anymore. I mean, when somebody sang it, like I think of Joe Cocker, for instance, and Leave Your Head On, do you think that the song is still yours after he has recorded it?
Yeah, because I continue to do it. It doesn't, once you write it, you know, and once you record it, anyone can record it. There's no, they don't have to ask your permission or anything. I feel that they're always mine. If I were writing just for myself, I wouldn't be writing. It isn't that I'm always thinking of a public, even though sometimes it seems I'm not. I always think like, oh, millions of people will like this one. You know, this is going to be, you know, satisfaction here. But I mean, I know a little better now. But I mean, for years I thought, oh, this might be a big hit. But I'm not that kind of writer, you know. I mean, I have a track record. Elton John, you know, and Billy Joel have track records of, they have a talent, a gift for writing things that the public really likes. I have probably a gift for songwriting, but it's not a gift for popular songwriting so much, you know. Not, you know, widely popular songwriting anyway. But that's all right with me.
But you have a natural talent to write.
Probably I have some, yes, probably I would say that I do have a talent for it, you know, other than just hard work and stuff like that. That's just like lucky, you know.
But Faust?
The last few years you have been working a lot with cinema.
Yeah.
So this kind of work, does it have the same value as songwriting, or how do you consider this?
Not to the world. Definitely not. No, there's. You wouldn't be talking to me if it were just the movies I'd done, you know, and I've been nominated for, you know, 5 Academy Awards. You wouldn't be, oh, you know, we've got to talk to him. He's been nominated for 5 Academy Awards for scoring, because it's not where the focus is in movies, and it isn't. It isn't that important. What can I say? But it's like life and death to me when I'm doing it. I put as much into those. More sometimes, my priorities are out of whack because it's a family thing, you know. I mean, it's like my uncles were in it, and it feels like the whole, you know, I care about everything. I'm much more scrupulous about what sounds I make with an orchestra than I am in making a record. I'm willing to lower my standards for a bass player or a drummer and stuff like that, you know. I'll say, you know, that's fine, that's good, isn't it? And the producer will have to say, you know, no, we better do it again. And I'll say, I'm genuinely sort of sloppy about that, about rock and roll, but I'm not. I'm meticulous about an orchestra, and it's the wrong kind of. I'm paying attention to the wrong thing, you know, because it is most important to people, but it's equally important to me. Yeah.
In the same time, movie soundtracks are more important now than ever. Do you have the feeling that you were part of it, part of that success?
No. The soundtracks that are important are, you know, like the soundtrack from Cocktail or things with a song in it that sell tickets for the movie. It isn't so much, whoa, what a great score. This is doing an immense amount for the movie. If a movie is very big, you know, like Star Wars was, or has a hit come out of it. Otherwise, no matter what it is, you know, the score to Pretty Woman, it was a fine score, but it isn't like important in the world. Yet the movie was Forrest Gump's score is important because I have a song in it and it's and it's easy money. But it isn't, you know what I mean? It's like there's the movie making $1 billion, but it isn't the score important in that way. It's when they have songs, and sometimes those are the worst scores of all. They don't fit the picture. Beverly Hills Cop, I mean, got nothing to do with what was going on. But it sold lots of records and maybe sold some tickets, you know.
Somebody said that the best movie soundtrack is something that nobody hears during the film. Do you agree with that?
That's very close to being true. You don't want to get in the way of what's going on. You want to help it. The best movie soundtrack fools you into thinking what isn't quite a good movie is a very good movie. You can do that. You can make a movie that would look a little trashy with a bad score look classy. For instance, what's the Sharon Stone thing?
Basic Instinct.
That had one of the best composers did it, and he had a lot of classy little things in it, and it kicked the movie upstairs a little bit. You know, it could have gone the other way. It also looked pretty good. So the cinematographer and music guy dress things up. And emotional things that are missing in a movie you can give. Can do very important things, but they're of necessity egoless. You know, you have to sort of bury your own kind of ego, which is good. You should anyway, and just try and serve the movie. No matter how lame it may be, you know, I mean, you got to do it. And I like doing it. I must admit, I'm very interested in it. I know more about soundtracks than I know about, you know, the last U2 record or I hear R.E.M.'s record and Pantera and these people and Boys to Men. But I really pay attention to what the movie guys are doing, you know. Let's see what's happening. Strange thing, you know. It's like I got my eye on the wrong thing. I know what's important is what Peter Gabriel's doing, but I don't care. I care more what Johnny Williams is doing in some ways.
Would you be able to do something else? I mean, if you were to stop now composing and do especially composing for movies, could you do something else?
We take me out of the creative field completely. I mean, I could perform. You want to eliminate music?
Yeah, I mean, out of music.
Could now, you do something else? I don't know what I'd have done. You know, threaded pipe. Maybe I could have been a writer, or maybe I could have worked harder in school. And my brother's a doctor, and my father was a doctor, but I don't think I had the discipline to like my brother did. Maybe a writer. I probably could have done that. I don't know what.
You have to express yourself.
No.
No.
It's just I don't feel I have to. I could not do it. But I think maybe that's the way I could have lived, you know, earned a living. And I think want to be noticed somewhat, you know, or you don't get into this to hide away, you know.
Mm. You gave us just before a few words about your new project.
Yeah.
Can you say us some more about it?
I wrote a show, which is a version of Goethe's Faust, and it's a lot of other people have done. It's a musical comedy, but I made the record of the songs, of some of the songs, before it, because I didn't know whether the show would ever get done. It is going to get done. And I got, you know, as I say, James Taylor and me and Elton John and Linda Ronstadt, Bonnie Raitt and Don Henley singing the different parts, you know, Faust and the Lord and Gretchen. And the story is essentially the Lord and the devil make a bet as to whether man is worthy. The devil says, you know, you made a mistake. And the Lord says, I don't make mistakes. And they play it out with a college kid, you know, nowadays, who is a pain in the ass to both of them. You know, it's much more difficult than, it's much worse than the devil in his way. You know, the devil is like an old school guy, you know, and the kid is just, you can't, neither the Lord or the devil can reach the humans in it. They're beyond, you know, what the Lord and devil understand. It's like a generational, where they're just out of touch, you know. I got five kids, and what a parent thinks would be fun for a kid is deadly to the kid, you know what I mean? Go to the beach and Disneyland, and you have your own rumpus room, and then, you know, yeah, right, so long. And that's the way it is with the, you know, the devil says, well, you want to go back in time or fly or go to the moon? And the kid says, no, I don't think so. And he just can't get used to it.
One of your son play, I think, some music.
He's a drummer, but now he's in A&R. He was just in a lecture when they purged everyone, and now he's at GRP, when the Maoists took over at Warner's. He played drums, but now he's a producer, record producer. And he had a very good sort of rap thing called Papa's Culture that was on Elektra. And then he was working with Teddy Pendergrass and They Might Be Giants, but now he's gone from there. Mm. So
this next album, Faust, it will be released on your own name, or?
Yeah, very small, Elton and everybody else real big, you know, and I get the money.
How many new songs did you write for this project?
About 20, and there's 15, 16 on the record. Didn't do everything because some of them are specific to being staged, I think. And maybe I should have done them, but I just didn't. Like this one of Bonnie's we didn't do. Linda's got three, Elton does one, James Taylor's got three or four, I got three or four. But I wrote a lot of them, and I've written a lot of songs for these animated, I'm doing three animated pictures, two for Disney and one for Hanna-Barbera. So it's writing songs to assignment for pictures that'll be out in 96 or 97 or maybe 95, I don't know. So I've written a lot of songs lately. They just haven't been visible, and they're not specifically for me. It's a little easier. Maybe not as good, but I hope they are, but they're different. You know, I mean, I'm not going to have Linda Ronstadt saying shit or fuck, you know, or one of the Disney characters. You know, you can't do Christmas in Cape Town with a mouse. So it's different, you know? But it was easier.
You are playing some of this new material on stage.
Yeah, I'll do four or five things from Faust. See how many they can stand. See how it's going. You know, if they want to hear old stuff, that's what I'll do. But I force feed some of it anyway. You know, I just do it because I want to do it, because I learn stuff about it. Yeah, I'll play some.
You would be interesting to release a live album of this tour, of this present tour.
Yeah, because I'm about as good as I have been at this. This is as I don't think I can get much better at doing precisely that, going out there with the piano, and some nights are better than others, you know. But basically, this is about it. I'm singing well. It's going smooth. It's I've got enough songs to where I can play a couple hours if I want. Enough songs that I'm not ashamed of, you know, and I would have been interested, but I don't know. The company's always been difficult for me, to be honest with you. I mean, in some ways, even though my best friend is president of it, God knows what will happen when the Mao was Surin, you know, completely. But it's difficult saying, oh, let's put out a lot. They just, you know, they have their own naturally. Their own plans and their own ideas, and they're waiting for Faust. They don't want to put out anything else. I mean, they got Linda Ronstadt and Bonnie Raitt and Elton John, not me, you know.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.